Hello, good morning, and welcome to Build Tour 2015 in Seoul. So let me tell you a bit about myself. So I work in a team that is responsible for Build. And as you can see, I think we did a great job. So we also know San Francisco is a bit far for everybody to travel. So for the first time, Microsoft will be traveling 26 cities across the globe to deliver some of the key concepts of Build. So part of our whole emphasis on Windows is to make sure that our social feeds are looking great. So for those of you, please use the hashtag BuildTour, where you'll see what's happening around the globe on these events. So one of the key phrases that we saw at Build by Satya was empowering every person and organization on the planet to achieve more. And what I want to talk to you today in particular is helping you, the application developer, to achieve more in our developer platform. I'll start off the day by talking about the devices platform, and then I'll move on to my colleague Elliot, who will talk to you more about the services platform. So let's start with some of the opportunities that Windows 10 brings to you. The one device platform and ecosystem for the future. And I want to cover these 4 points. The first one being the large addressable market. So as you know, Windows 10 is coming to a wide variety and wealth of devices, all the way from the small IoT devices to the phone, the tablet, the PC, the laptops, the Xbox, the Surface Hub, and the HoloLens. That's something from your personal carry-on device to your office device, to your home device, to meetings, and also in industry. So that's one of the key targets we have for the next few years. Is 1 billion Windows 10 devices. And we would love your help to help us achieve that. So, to get the ball rolling, we will be offering for the first year free upgrades to Windows 7 and Windows 8 users to Windows 10. Now, one of the things about an addressable market is it's not just the only thing we have to concentrate on. There is also smart engagement. So let's start from the first thing you see when you turn on your Windows 10 machine. So introducing Windows Hello. Windows Hello uses a biometric, uses biometrics to help you log in without the need for passwords. This makes sure that it's even more secure and requires no need for you to remember those crazy difficult passwords, or I've seen people use password one or for that. And then once we've logged in, we've also customized the way the desktop experience is, where we now add app spotlights, so you as the application developer can make sure your applications get surfaced to users who would use your application. And we don't just do this on the desktop. We don't want to be intrusive. So in one of the key places, we also make sure we put it on the lock screen. This does not impede on the productivity of your users, but you'll still have a great way to make sure your applications get to the users that need it most. So let's go back to the desktop. One of the other things we've done is we've brought the best of all our different devices, and we brought it to one converged platform. So you can see here we took the notification center from Windows Phone, and we brought it into the desktop. But we've done more. We've actually also made them interactive. This means you as an application developer can get information from your users without them having to launch the application every time. We've also made sure that our friend Cortana also surfaces apps that are on your machine first before anything else. And even after that, she will make recommendations of applications in the store to help users decide whether they want more information. Now, as we know, mobile devices are becoming more powerful, and Windows 10 is trying to leverage some of that. So we're introducing a concept called Continuum. This allows your universal Windows application to deliver the mobile experience on your mobile, but when plugged to a large screen and connected to a Bluetooth mouse and keyboard, you'll be able to get the full PC experience on those screens while still maintaining the mobile phone experience. So one of the other areas, once you've done your universal application, is all about the store. It's all about distribution. How do we make sure that people get your apps on their machines? So the One Store has been written to ensure that you, the application developer, gets as much information about your users, as well as your users being able to discover your applications too. So we have things like campaign attribution. We can help you understand which of your marketing campaigns were successful in helping aid the download and install of your application. We also offer in-application subscriptions. No longer does a user just have to pay upfront once. You can now bill on a cycle, which will help make sure that if you're in sort of organizations like news and magazines, this will be really popular. Then we have video interstitial adverts. This will make sure that another way to monetize effectively will be through adding videos and adverts through your applications and ensuring that you're able to balance between a great user experience but still being able to monetize effectively. And a couple of other things I want to mention are the free in-app analytics that we're offering. What is more important for an application developer is to understand how the user is using your application. What features are worth investing more on? Because your users would like to see more features on that particular area. And finally, the flexible distribution model. Whether you are an application developer that published publicly to consumers, or you're a business to business, or if you're going to educational authorities, it'll be one store, one place, where your users will be able to use your application and download them. So the final thing I want to talk to you about is the One Developer Platform. This is one of the big fundamental changes that you'll see that regardless of whichever Windows family of devices you have, we'll make sure you get a consistent design, develop, and debug experience. One design language with one control set. This will allow you to ensure that you can build applications that will take advantage of the controls universally. So let's take the pivot control that we are so used to in Windows Phone. We have now ported this control out to all of our Windows devices. The calendar control has been optimized to make sure that it renders nicely and effectively based on the device you're viewing on. And this is all part of a one control set that we'll be delivering in the Windows 10 Universal Platform. But we go more than just giving you controls. We want to make sure that the experiences your users get is amazing. So we do little things to help you. So a classic example here is a menu flyer. You can see it's only a couple of lines of code here. But when I click, the spacing between the items is different to that of when I type. When I tap. It's these small changes that make a big difference to the experience. But we want to take it a step further, because we want to also allow you to give you the power to tailor your experiences based on the device. So we've introduced new controls around layout and adaptive triggers to make sure that even the same application, here you can see mail, is all tailored based on that user. So this is an interesting slide. Hopefully, it's one you've all seen. So this slide was probably used in Windows 8 and 8.1. One API, one package, the same platform. This has not changed. All we've done is made it a version 10. So what do I mean by version 10? Well, you can still see that you can still write your applications using XAML, DirectX, C#, C++, VB, HTML, CSS, JavaScript. We've got a whole load of things. And it all talks to the Windows Runtime Platform. So the V10 difference is we've introduced 2,500 new platform features. These features, such as the Active Pen, Xbox Live has been moved from just Xbox to the Windows 10 family. DirectX 12, with its multi-adapter, allows you to use the integrated hardware and your dedicated graphics hardware to deliver the fastest graphics experience. We've been listening a lot, and we understand that everyone's been after Bluetooth beacons on the Windows platform, and we've brought that as well. We've brought Cortana from the phone to the desktop, and I'm sure some of you are aware with gesture, gaze, and holograms. So I think the key thing about this is it's all very well me showing you loads of slides about how exciting and how this really works. But I think the best thing to do is probably to show you. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to invite you, a good friend and colleague of mine from Corp called Dave Crawford, to give you a demo on the Universal Windows platform. Round of applause. Thank you very much.
Annyeonghaseyo. That's about the limit of my... Thank you. That's about the limit of my Korean, so forgive me for speaking English for the rest of this demo. Okay, so I'm going to give you a demo of Universal Windows apps across a variety of different devices. So for this, we're going to use the scenario of an interior design company. So say, for example, I want to redesign my apartment because, you know, it needs a refresh. I'm going to take you through an app that we've built to help make that a little bit easier. And we're going to show you it on a couple of different devices. So we're going to take you through a few different areas. The first one, we're going to design our floor plan of our building to get an idea of the spaces that we have. We're then going to plan some stores that we're going to go to take photographs of furniture for ideas for how we want to decorate. We're then going to go to these stores and take the pictures. We're then going to organize these things into mood boards, a bit like you'd see on some of these social networking sites that allow you to create boards of content. And then we're going to look at how we can present these back to the user in some interesting ways. So let's start off with the design phase. Now you see here, I've got the new Windows 10 Direct Ink Control. And we have this beautiful new fluid ink. All curves, all hardware accelerated, really beautiful. It just flows out the pointer there. And as developers, you can choose whether you want that to work with pen, or with touch, or with the mouse. You have a lot of different options here. So what I've just done is I've loaded in an existing image that I've drawn. And I drew this using Direct Ink previously. And what Direct Ink does is it remembers all the stroke information and all the content, so it's nice and scalable, and I can still manipulate it afterwards. So let's say I want a bigger kitchen. I can just select the wall by right-clicking, dragging around it, and I can just use my finger this time to move it. So I'm using a combination of the mouse and the touch to interact with this same control. So let's have a look at how this is actually done inside Visual Studio. So I'm just going to pop to Visual Studio down here. So this is our design page. This is the XAML page that shows the content on the screen. And you see I have this new ink canvas control. And it's just one line of code to drop this canvas control in here. And it gives you a lot of rich functionality out of the box. It has all the event handlers you need. It deals with the selection. It does all the masking. It's fantastic little control. So let's look at the code that we used to create the actual lasso that you saw. I'm going to go into the code behind for this page. And you see here, I have got three different methods. I've got one to deal with when I press the pointer, one to deal with when I move it, and one when I release it. These are all the three pieces that I need to do when I'm creating my selection. So the first thing I do, fairly obviously, I just create a new polyline. I give it some properties, such as I make it blue, I make it a dashed line, and I then start adding the points to an array here. As I move the pointer around, I want to keep updating these positions there so I know where the mouse cursor is actually tracking. And then finally, when I release the mouse cursor, I want to add that last position, because you've got to remember your last position. And I then pass those to the ink canvas itself, and that returns me a bounding rectangle. And I then ask the control to draw that rectangle on the screen. So really simple piece of code to deliver some really rich functionality into your control. So now that I've designed my room and I know the kind of layout of my house, I'm going to go start thinking about the places I'm going to go for furniture inspiration. So let's look at our planned trip phase here. Now, if the demo gods love me, the map will load. Here we go. So here we have our new map control. And I can, as you'd expect with this kind of app, I can add filters for the different stores I want to look at. And this map supports pen and touch and mouse, and I can pan and zoom it and rotate it as I want to. I can even tilt it into 3D. And all of this functionality comes out of the box, straight out of the controller. You don't have to do anything else to enable these things. What you also get is offline 2D maps with this control, which will help you even in those offline scenarios that you may have. One other thing we've added to this control is we've added a 3D view. So provided our internet connection likes us, we can turn our 3D view on. So this is Seattle, where we live. And you can see here we have this beautiful 3D rendering of the towns that we can move through in this map control. And this is all built into the control. Let's look at how you actually turn this on. So back in Visual Studio, we go to our planned trip page. And you can see here we have, like I said, just one line for this map control. That's all it is. Drop it on the page, and it has that functionality. All you need to do is turn it on. So inside my code behind for my planned trip page, I have my aerial view button, which is that little globe that I clicked on to make it go 3D. And basically, all I'm doing here is telling the map control to switch to showing me the aerial 3D with roads. If it's off, I show the road version. It's that simple. Really simple line of code just to toggle that property, and you get such rich functionality out of it. So now, when I go to these stores, I actually want to start taking pictures. We don't want to be one of those people who goes around with their tablet taking pictures of things, because nobody likes that guy. But we have a fantastic camera in our pocket, also known as a phone. And because this is a universal Windows app, it will run on a phone without making any code changes. So let me show you this running on the phone now. So here we have that exact same app running on the phone. I have the full list of all my content. I can still pan and zoom around the map. I can turn off 3D view if I want to. It's exactly the same functionality as you'd expect. The Wi-Fi is being a little bit slow, but you can see how that works there. We haven't had to change a single line of code. But you will notice one thing that is different between the screen I just showed you on the desktop and the screen I'm showing you on the phone, and that is that the map sits below the list. That's because we've optimized the layout to make it easier for people to consume on a device this size. And we've built in some things into the platform to make this easy for you guys to do, so you don't have to write lots of lines of code to make your apps more responsive in their layout. Let's take a look at how that's done. So I'm going to go back to our planned trip page. And you see here we have that map control I mentioned to you earlier. And below it we have this list control. And the list contains all of those stores that we're going to visit. But if you look up, these are all wrapped in a new control called a relative panel. This is a new layout control in addition to the grid and the stack panel and the wrap panel that you guys are all very familiar with. But this has got some superpowers. This lets us lay content out relative to one another. So you can say, put this piece of content to the right of this piece of content, or put it below this one. And using the new adaptive triggers that we have in Windows 10, which are up here, I can define two different states for my app. So here I'm saying a narrow window, which is effectively when it's running on a phone. And I can also specify a larger one for when it's running on a larger device. So this is saying any screen that's bigger than 600 effective pixels, for example. And here I can set properties using really simple dot notation. In the past, you'd have had to create storyboards with single frames. Bit of a pain to do that. Now it's very quick to do. So you can see when we go to the phone view, we're saying move the list below the map. Really, really simple piece of code just to move that content around on the page. OK. So once we've captured some images for our mood boards, we actually want to start organizing them into groups. So as Shen mentioned to you earlier, we're uniting all of the controls in Windows and Windows Phone and Xbox into one common platform to make it easier for you guys to deliver great experiences to your users. And on this page, you can see we have the pivot control, which is new to Windows. And this works with keyboard and mouse. I can click between these, you'd expect. I can also use touch to swipe between these, because it is a pivot control that we brought across. Now, here I can organize my mood boards. So I can say, for example, I love this fireplace. I want it in my living room. And I can just use drag and drop. Some experiences are going to be better tailored to some devices. So for example, for making these complex mood boards, it kind of makes more sense for me to do it on a device that has a keyboard and mouse, because I can be much more efficient. I can do things like drag and drop much easier. But we're also introducing a new feature in Windows 10 that allows us to drag and drop into universal Windows apps from the desktop or from other apps. So here I can call up my Pictures app. So say I've been emailed a picture from a friend who's like, I think this will look great in your house. I can actually call that up and look at it. So he's actually sent me two pictures. I don't think I want Princess look in my living room, but you know, some people might. Instead, I'm going to bring across this table. So I can just drag that from the desktop, or from this other app in this case, drop it onto my film strip, and then it appears in my app. And from here, I can just drag this onto to the screen. So let's look at the code to see how we enable that drag and drop. I'll go back to Visual Studio, and we're going to our Organize page. And here we have a drop event handler. And what we do when we drop something onto the screen is we decide where it's coming from. And if it's coming from the OS, we create a new storage file, pull it in as a bitmap image. And then because it's come from the desktop, it won't have any of the metadata I've added already. So we give it some dummy metadata for the time being. And then we then add that to the list of captured images that we have. If it's an image that we're dragging up from the film strip and dropping onto the page, we have some very simple code that pulls it from that list of content and drops it onto the corresponding pivot. So some really simple code to enable drag and drop across Windows. So the next thing I need to do once I've thought about all the furniture I want to have, I've created all the mood boards, create the plan of my room, is I want to start thinking about the paint colors of my apartment. So I've taken that 2D drawing that you saw and I've made a 3D version of it. And again, this is just using DirectX, and I can use a variety of input methods. I can use my mouse, I can use my finger here, just to pan it around and have a look in more detail. But because this is a universal Windows app, again, it will work across a variety of devices. So if I wanted to, I could just run this app on my Xbox and use my Xbox control to spin it around. That way I can share it with my whole family, and we can have lively debates about paint. But we have one device where viewing a 3D model would be a far more exciting experience than viewing it on a flat screen, and that's HoloLens. Now, because this is a universal Windows app, it will just work on HoloLens. And I'm afraid I wasn't able to bring a HoloLens device to show you guys today. Believe me, I'd have loved to, but I wasn't able to. But I can show you how this experience will look on a HoloLens device. So this is a clip from Build, and you can see Miko here, she has the HoloLens device on, and she's able to visualize the app in 3D space. Now remember, this is the exact same code that you guys have written for your Universal Windows app. So the best way to start preparing for HoloLens development is to start building Universal Windows apps today. Now an interesting thing about the HoloLens is you're putting something in 3D space, so traditionally you need a camera to do that. And in the past, you were in charge of the placement of this camera as a developer. But with HoloLens, it's a little more complex than that, because the camera is actually on the user's head. Even more so, they have two, because you have two eyes. And you are no longer in control of that camera, because the user is continually moving around. So you need to make sure that you handle that in your code. So I can show you a quick snippet of how we do that inside our code, if my mouse is working. There we go. I'll go up to here. So this is our holographic camera code. And you can see here how we're updating those two cameras. And we have to update both the left eye and the right eye independently. And this is vitally important, otherwise you end up with disjointed situations. And you don't want to make the user feel ill when they're using your experience. So I'd love to go into more detail than that. We'll be releasing more information about HoloLens development very soon. So I've shown you today how we can create an app that works across a variety of different devices. This same app will also run on IoT, it will run on tablet, on phone, on PC, on Xbox, on Surface Hub, on HoloLens, everything that Windows 10 touches. And with that, I'd like to hand back over to Shen. Thank you very much.
So Dave just showed you a quick experience of what it is like to be a developer on the Universal Windows platform. And he showed you some of the debugging experiences too. So part of Visual Studio, the tooling has been enhanced to make sure that you as a developer can take some of the user interfaces that you already have, and you just with a simple drop down, you'll be able to select the various device types and see how that renders without actually having to have the physical device always there. We've also introduced something called the Visual Tree. The idea of the Live Visual Tree is to enable you to, during runtime, change the content of your application rather than having to always hit F5 every time you made a design change. So you can see here, I've got the application running. We select an item on the left. You'll see it's got a nice red box around funky furniture. From there, I can change properties, and that will change directly back onto the design surface. We also know that one of the key things around building applications is performance, so we've even enhanced the debugging experience there. Between breakpoints, we will now tell you how long particular code actually took to run. We also, by default, make sure that we show the CPU and memory usage of your application. I know some of us always like to run our developer boxes with 16 gigs of RAM and 4-core i7s. Unfortunately, my mother does not have that same machine. So you have to make sure that your application runs smoothly across everything. So we've talked about building native experiences. We all know native experiences always deliver the best experiences. But we also know that not everyone is in a position to build a native experience straight away. So we've introduced Bridges. Bridges is a way to allow you to reuse your existing code and bring it to the universal Windows platform. So we talked about 1 billion devices. Well, that's quite a big number. So with a bridge, we're hoping that you'll be able to reuse your code and help get you to a native experience. Remember, the idea of a bridge is it's never the finishing point. You always start with the bridge and finish native. So let's talk about one of the first things, one of the first bridges, and that's the web. So we're heavily invested in the web, and there are three main ways you can go and build a universal Windows package at the moment. There is the native HTML using WinJS. There's Cordova for packaged apps. I think most of you probably will know more about that. And then we have the hosted web apps. This is something new that we're delivering in Windows 10, and we'll discuss that later on during the day. But this allows you to take your existing website and apply it to the store and build an app very quickly. So one of the big investments we made was around our web engine, Microsoft Edge HTML. The Microsoft Edge HTML has 4,200 interoperability improvements. This includes web audio, ASMJS, we'll have some HTTP2. But we also know that interoperability is not the only thing you need for a great web experience. Performance is also key. So we thought we'd take the Microsoft Web Engine and put it against Internet Explorer using Jetstream, which is the Apple benchmarking for web browsers. And you can see we did pretty well. We're 1.5 times faster than our old browser. What's more interesting, though, is when we take our other browsers, we're not doing too bad either, actually. But what about when we take Google Octane 2 benchmark? So we applied the same benchmarking criteria, and this time we were twice as good as our old browser. And again, even against some of the other browsers, we're not doing too bad. Now, we know Edge is still a work in progress, but we're hoping to maintain that cadence. So let's talk about Microsoft Edge, the browser. It's an optimized user experience that updates regularly. It doesn't have the 20 years worth of history that Internet Explorer keeps carrying with it. It's designed to make sure the web just works and be on par with those other modern browsers. We have new features, the new tab pages for frequent sites, some promoted apps, and also personalized news for you. And the final one will be a new extension model, and this will allow you to take your existing extensions on other browsers and port them easily across to Edge. So we talked a bit about hosted apps earlier on, and I want to show you something around how that works. So a hosted app, in essence, allows you to take your existing website and run that in a Windows package, but also utilizing the Windows Runtime APIs. So let me show you a demo of what we mean. So I always like to think that when you do a demo, you shouldn't do that. Also, you should get in character a bit. So maybe I should wear these as well, just in case. OK, so let me switch the screen, if you just give me a second. Fantastic. OK. So what I want to show you is Flight Simulator. So you can see here, I'm using the Edge browser. I'm just going to play the game. This is just a normal website. It doesn't do anything special. You can see it uses some of the new 3D APIs that are available in Edge. And I am absolutely terrible at flying this thing, I could even in rehearsals. But what I want to show you here is, actually, I'm going to take this application now, and wearing this hat, I'm going to show you how I can add notifications. So as a web developer, sometimes I might use other tools. So I'm going to use Sublime here. I'm just uncomment some of this code. So let's do that right now. And in essence, all I'm doing here is I'm creating a toast notification in my application when I've reached a certain milestone. So I'm going to save that and using Git. Oop. Push that. I want to make very clear here now. This code is all running on the server. All I've just done is I've created a hosted web package. So this is the package that I created earlier on. This is going to load my website. All that JavaScript you saw is going to be downloaded from my website and will be read by this package. Now notice I can now use an Xbox controller. All right. I'm still no good with this, even with the controller. But you get the idea. And you can see I've got a notification in the bottom right there. Again, this is not client-side code. This is code that has come from my website. So that is before I do something not so great with that. I'm going to flick back. But that gives you an idea of what you can do with Edge and the hosted web services. So I'm going to have to take. Right. Cool. So that was. You were wondering what's coming up next, right? He's worn a hat. So the other one we want to talk about is .NET and Win32. We haven't forgotten. We know that there are 16 million desktop apps that are active every month. So what we're doing is we're going to allow you to wrap your application in AppX, whether it's a WPF, WinForms, or Win32. And that means you'll be able to deploy to the store, knowing that you have all the benefits of the store's distribution models, its promotions, its safe code, its installs, its updates, all those cadences. But we go a step further, because now you're a UWP, it also means you can call the Windows Runtime APIs. That means you can take advantage of things like Cortana. It'll be things like the tiles and notifications that you've seen. And these are all from your .NET and Win32 apps. We also talked about Android applications and Java and C++. So we're going to allow you to reuse your existing Java C++ code that you use to write your Android applications and build projects for the Windows Phone. And then we have iOS and Objective-C. Again, we want to help you reuse your code. We love your code. So what we want to make sure we do here is take your Objective-C code and recompile it using Visual Studio to build a universal Windows platform. So we've talked about a lot of devices, a lot of software things. But actually, one thing that we've noticed is that driving your inspiration on Windows Universal Platform, we also know that hardware is now playing a bigger and important role in delivering great solutions. So what I'd like to do is just show you a quick video of what people are doing with Windows and IoT, and then we'll show you a demo after. Can we roll the video, please?
Devices for 20 years, making the difficult look easy, and keeping life simple, taking you away and guiding you home, providing care and bringing new life into the world. Opportunity is all around us.
Great. So that was a bit of a taster of what Windows and IoT can do together. So we are taking two large, well-known industrial manufacturers of IoT devices, the Miniboard Max and the Raspberry Pi, and they will be shipping with Windows 10 for free. We're also going to be supporting larger industrial devices, as well as those small, tiny microcontrollers to make sure that you get the full Windows 10 experience. Please note, this is still a universal app. So, let me show you a bit of a demo of how this all works. So, Dave showed you an interior design app earlier on. So, I went to his kitchen and I stole a light. Maybe I should wear goggles for this. What I want to show you here is, I've got a UWP app, and it's a very simple toggle button. And all I just do is on that toggle button, when I click, I'm going to turn on some GPIO pins to high and low. So let me just deploy this. I have a Raspberry Pi that's all wired up here. So let me just do a remote machine install then. So while that's deploying, let me walk you through the code. So what we do, we get the default GPIO controller. We open up pin 26. We set the drive to output. And by default, we set it to low, so the light stays off. When I click a toggle button, it's going to go to high. So let me switch to my Raspberry Pi. I know what you're thinking. It's an amazing user interface, right? So I'm now going to attempt to juggle a mouse and a light. And you can see here if sparks go flying out. Let's see. Ah. What do you think? That's cool, right? Yeah. My wife is going to kill me when she sees I've taken that. Right. Cool. So let me jump back to slides. So we've shown you a bit of Windows IoT. And of course, part of IoT is HoloLens. So again, we just want to show you, after all the inspiration we saw around the world for people inspiring us with hardware and software combined, we want to show you a bit of a video about what we decided to do to gather some inspiration too. Can we show the video for HoloLens, please?
The hardware allows us to take these visions, these ideas about these new products, and make it all real.
Imagine a computer that allows you to put your images anywhere, and you can interact with things as a combination of the real world and holograms.
You have a bunch of different systems that need to come together in one big symphony.
Every time you think you understand it, it's like peeling an onion. There's suddenly another layer of things which you suddenly realize, oh yeah, of course, we have to figure that out now.
We don't have room for error, we don't have room for drift, we don't have room for those normal things that happen in a device.
So it's working with these people across the world and bring it all together into this brand new product.
We envisioned an all-in-one device that is untethered, with built-in batteries, hands-free, and floating audio.
You have to come up with a holographic processing unit because you're constantly producing data every single millisecond.
Visor Lens is so complex. While it looks very simple and pure, it needs to accommodate so many requirements to see progressive content.
The audio components need to take in all of that information about where is my head, where am I looking, so that your brain knows that there's something real over there.
The enclosure wraps around the user's head to provide great weight distribution.
We have so many sensors on this product. To read all those in real time and to do that in a very power efficient way requires the power of what they develop with the new version of Windows.
We need to get the hardware just right so that we can sort of unleash that creativity in the world.
I think we have great ideas. I think when we get it out to developers, we're going to get hundreds of great ideas.
We want to get it out to people and show them, hey, this is real and this actually works. Now, let's see what you can do with it.
Cool. So that was almost as good as my light. So as you can see, so we've talked a lot about all the devices, and Windows 10, the device family, is big. And we're hoping that you'll build universal Windows platform applications that spread a wealth of these devices. So how to get started? Well, first thing to do is to join the Windows Insiders program. Who's joined the Windows Insiders program already? Can we have a raise of hands? A few? Oh, good. You are my new best friends. Cool. And also download the Windows SDK from there as well, and have a play. Some of the things we'll cover today, you'll be able to go away today and play with it. So I've talked a lot about devices platform. What I now want to do is introduce, again, friend and colleague, Elliot Miller, onto the stage, who's now going to talk to you about the great stuff that we're doing in the cloud. Thank you.